I have on the telephone Chair John Rockwell, Vice Chair Tammy Gogia Cottrell, Master Sergeant Joe Rodriguez, Scott Nelson, John Clendenden, Fire Marshal Kyle Green, Robert Ruddington, Carl Edwards, Zach Hoff, and then present in the room, I have Jim Goodman, David Reed, Scott Stormo, Nicholas Stanislaus, Paul Fussy, myself, and Steve Noel, who's a guest. Is there anyone else that I've missed?
Aaron Calwara, I don't know if you called my name.
No, I did not.
Keith Berrien.
Okay.
That completes the roll, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. At this time, we'd like to do introductions to guests or new members. I know we do have a new member. I don't know if Sergeant Dryden was able to attend today. Hearing none, the Executive Council has approved his appointment to the ALMR User Council. Paul, do you have any guests that you would like to announce at this time?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we have Mr. Steve Noel from CISA. He's sitting in for Mr. Richter.
Hi. Good afternoon. Hi, John. Just sitting in. Haven't been to a meeting in a while, and interested to see how things are going. And I do want to make a comment. I went down to down the Kenai Peninsula yesterday, and FirstNet cover seemed to be pretty good, and Verizon, and folks I talked with were very complimentary of ALMR service, so just wanted to throw that in.
Thank you very much, Steve, and welcome to the meeting. We're honored to have you here.
Thank you, John.
Is Mr. Jones online?
Yes, I am online.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Andy Jones, he's a special projects coordinator for the Division of Forestry and Fire Protection, and he's been kind enough to join our meeting today. And he will be giving a presentation on the State Division of Forestry and Fire Protection after the meeting is adjourned.
Excellent. Thank you, Andy, and I look forward to your presentation after the meeting.
Thanks,
right.
John. Looking forward to it.
You bet. Moving on, the first agenda item is the review and approval of the May meeting minutes. May I have a motion to approve?
This is Kyle Green.
Well, I did hear Kyle for a motion, and may I have a second?
This is Tammy for a second.
Tammy, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review the meeting minutes. Are there any questions, comments, changes, updates, concerns for the meeting minutes? Hearing none, I approve the May meeting minutes. Moving on to the next topic is the review of the issues and risk log. Mary, could you give us any updates to that log?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy. The update that we do have is concerning the Zone 2 master site. We did put this back on the issues and risk log. As you can see down here, I zoomed it in so everybody can read it a little bit better. It was taken off back in February 29th, but after we met with the Army, we put it back on May 28th. It was reopened for confirmation. All repairs and replacements were completed, so we're waiting on that one. What we're hearing is the batteries were replaced, but there might have been some issues with the transfer switch. The transfer switch. Mr. Fonisak, do you have more update on that one?
That's all I've heard. Is this, yeah, just there's a problem with the transfer switch between the battery and the commercial, and they don't know what's wrong with it yet. They're investigating.
So that's the only change we have, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Paul. And thanks, Nick, for the update. Moving to the action item list. Again, Paul, can you give us any updates to the action item list?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As soon as my computer helps me out here. So if we start looking at the action items, obviously the one, once the APX Next radios are up and running, that was a carryover from October 2023 meeting. That's still on the books. We're waiting for that one. If you look at number two, number three, I sent the draft letter prepared for the GCI and the commercial circuits over to APSCF and the UC chair for approval. Once I get those back, I will be sending those out to AT&T, Verizon, MTA, and specifically GCI for the commercial circuits, because we are still having issues with GCI. So hopefully I'll have those closed out by next meeting, Mr. Chair.
I was talking and I was on mute. Paul, here's, I'm going to move to the next agenda item, which is the operations management overview.
No worries, Mr. Chair. I was waiting for your response, sir.
Thank you.
So we'll move over to training. And we continue to encourage everyone to go to the new training page on the ALMR website and watch the videos. We work with our webpage designer and have changed it up. So it's a more user-friendly, so you have to scroll through everything. Just click on the hyperlink and the videos come on. We're getting really good positive feedback on the videos that people are watching. Mr. Nelson is working on the training video for June. That topic will be encryption. So we've got a few questions on your KVLs, how to put the encryption in, and how does that work? And then once you start turning in your radios and sanitizing them, how to take the encryption off. So whenever we get questions from our resource users, we make sure that we'll put a training out video out for them. On another topic, tomorrow, June 6th, is the FEMA Region 10 RECWID meeting, and that'll be from 9 to 1500 in person and virtually at the Anchorage Downtown Federal Building Annex at 222 West 8th Street. So first time it's being in Anchorage for a while. There's a really good training coming up in the afternoon, and then the state will be giving their briefing. So I encourage everyone to listen in on that one, but that'll be tomorrow from 9 to 1500 in downtown Anchorage and virtually. So going to the outreach, I continue to go through and reach out to our members and talk to them about the TDMA upgrade, what radios they're using, and where they are in the process of ordering new radios and what type they have or what type they've ordered. Some of the issues that I've heard that individuals have TDMA-capable radios, but they're working with their local vendor to get the TDMA flash upgrade installed on their radios. And a few other items are they've ordered radios and they've been given a very long time for their radios to come in. So keeping track with that one. And on a positive note, some of them have asked for the links for the UC meetings as we're trying to get more and more user members participating in the user meetings. So we send them out the links and we add them into the email roster and just follow the list that Mary has. So that's what we're doing for the outreach. For also for outreach, we start looking at the membership agreements. Mary's sending out the emails to confirm the correct point of contact for the membership agreement. We do appreciate everyone who sends a reply back with any changes or letting us know that everything is still accurate so we can get our membership agreements out. We are starting to get some membership agreements back that are signed with the cost share amounts. They've been sent to DOD and the federal non-DOD agencies. And as they're coming in, they're being sent over to various APSDS for their proper billing and filing. So when you start looking at the system upgrade, the Motorola team continues to install Juniper routers around the state. Their crews are working up north right now. And with that, the SMO has completed 17 PMIs for May. That includes both drivable and helicopter sites. Of course, the weather that we're having now with this heavy rain around the state, up to and including the southeast, that's put a little bit of a damper on our PMIs and also replacing Juniper routers, but we're soldiering through as best we can on that one. The no document reviews for May. Of course, there were several coming up in June, but for right now, there's nothing for May. Any questions for me before I move over to the metrics?
Mr. Fussy, Kyle Green here.
Go ahead, Mr. Green.
Yeah, thanks for the updates. Appreciate it. On the involvement of users, are we including when those connections are being made to get more users to participating, are we including the user council representatives that represent those users in those email chains and conversations?
No, but I can. Let me make some notes for this. What they do is when they ask to be included into the GISPO, I talk to them, get all their information, and then Mary sends them all the information that they need for the meeting and includes it. But I'll make some notes here to include their user rep as we do this.
Yeah, and I come in. I appreciate that. I'm coming from a point of introducing those folks to their user reps. You know, that way, you know, chain of conversation is kept, and then you know, we can engage with them directly since we are their representatives. To me, that just seems to make sense. And if there's something local I can help out with as a user council representative, absolutely. I want to be involved at that level and maybe take a little bit off of somebody else's plate if that's possible. But that's me. I think there's a benefit there for all of us. Thank you.
Well, I'd be happy to do that. So, Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure that you can see the metrics.
No, sir. We're still on the agenda, Paul.
Okay. Is it not? How about now, Mr. Chair?
No, sir. Still on the agenda. And now we see the metrics.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, as we go through here, if we start looking at the system performance monthly groups and individual calls, the total number was 1,515,000, which is down from last year. And our monthly push-to-talks were 2,507,078. Once again, that's down from last year. And what we're doing is we're looking through, because those numbers are down 300,000 from last year. We're just trying to figure out why. We're still getting a lot of activity, but I don't have an answer right now as to why it's dropped that much. And if we start looking at our monthly busies, we do have 710, and we'll go into that here in a little bit as to why we do have those busies. So this is one of the main reasons we start looking at this. We have 18 sites that are below 3.9, but remember, we are working on the Juniper upgrades right now. We had a large number of PMIs. and here is our list here. So start looking at the sites. We have a lot of PMI, power upgrades, CCGW upgrades, link testing, Juniper router installs. So there's nothing out of the ordinary or looks like we would have any issues. The one that we do have, if you take a look at Seward, there was an interference from our Norwegian cruise ship as it came into Seward. It affected our sites. It also affected the railroad. And we've contacted Norwegian Cruise Line personally, and the FCC was also contacted by us. And then I was told through some emails that there was also some issues with the Norwegian cruise ships down in Southeast interfering with AT&T cell phone towers too. So we're working with the company to make sure that doesn't happen again. And we do have subscriber counts with total was 31,530. So that completes the metrics. Are there any questions for me? And Mr. Woodall is going to the room. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Pussy. Kyle Green here again.
Go ahead, Mr. Green.
So I don't know if this is the proper place to bring it up, but I see Birch Hill, Esther Domer on here. In today's system status, it was noted for our area here in Fairbanks that there's ongoing interference. Is that the testing that is being referenced in that daily email, or is there something else going on that's affecting our performance here?
That's the testing going on, Mr. Green. Mr. Fonasak is shaking his head up and down in agreement with that.
There is... This is Nick, but yeah, there is additional interference coming from a radio station as well. That is also part of the issue too. And I'm working, or have been working with Tim Woodall and others to deal with that.
Okay, thank you. I guess I'll wait to hear more from you, Nick. Thank you. Sorry.
Any other questions from the group? Okay. So, go ahead.
Oh, just said, thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate your presentation. And again, are there any questions for Paul? Hearing none, we can move. I'm sorry, Paul. Keep going.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. What I'm doing is I'm just switching back over here to make sure that everything is aesthetic for my screen. And do you see the agenda again, Mr. Chair?
Not yet, Paul. Right now it's a blank screen.
And by one, Mr. Chair.
And we have... Yep, and we have the agenda. Thank you very much, Paul.
It's a phenomenal delay. I apologize, Mr. Chair. So just it's to close all... it out under others, Nick and I and the ALMR team, we've been coming in 4 o'clock in the morning the last couple of days to finish up the quarterly zone control rollovers. They were accomplished June 4th and 5th without any issues. We thank everybody's patience and the dispatch centers we called as we did that. So I know some of the folks are aware of this, but there was a military exercise back in May 20th and 21st. And when the OMO, SMO, and APSCS were made aware of potential military exercise that would have affected Zone 2 master site, we worked with the military members, the local agencies, and I appreciate Mr. Green helping out also. So the master site for Zone 2 is not affected, and that is just through everyone's cooperation and willing to talk to each other. So appreciate everybody's work on that and participation. And then the closing statement for my report, Mr. Chairs, tomorrow is the 80th anniversary of the D-Day, June 6, 1944. So that concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Keith Berry, and I've got a couple of questions about the Burchell event.
Go ahead, Chief.
So I appreciate the glazing over the coordination, but from our end, it sure didn't seem like that. It seemed like more of a case of the DOD component made a decision that they were shutting down the Burchell Master Site with basically very little or no notice and was going to knock most emergency communications down in the Fairbanks area. And if they have that potential, I've got some serious concerns about having Burchell be the master site for the Fairbanks area, because we were not ready and had to do a lot of last minute scrambling for something that should have been planned out well in advance.
So Chief Barron, this is Paul Fussy. You're correct. For the user council, I did glass over it. It was short notice. Nick and I were scrambling, making a lot of phone calls. DOD and Mr. Woodall all got involved. We had DPS personnel up in Fairbanks scrambling on that one. We've met with the DOD. We've met with the commander over there. It was, lack of a better word, little knowledge on what would happen if that site went down. They're now made aware of that, and they'll be working with us in the future on anything that happens of potential for the master site.
Hopefully we can get something in place so that that becomes not just personal knowledge from the current staff there at Fort Wainwright, but also institutionally, because otherwise really, we should be looking at some way to separate that master site out from the military component, because basically we were going to have half the agencies in Fairbanks were going to lose communications. We had three police agencies that were going to have no communications, because come to find out, they had let their system, their VHS systems lapse. It was a mess. So
no argument for me on that one, Chief. And it was Fairbanks, not just the Fairbanks area. It would have been Zone 2, which is Denali Highway North.
Yeah.
Everything.
So Fairbanks Police, North Pole Police, all, and I believe the troopers also were going to be down on communications completely. It was definitely cause for a lot of concerns.
Well, there's some assumptions being made that the backup capability battery plant would or would not work. We can't have a situation where we fear the system going down. We have to feel confident and also from time to time test that if the system did go down, that the backup battery plant would work, that the system would come back online. And then as we move forward, this is Mr. Woodall speaking, and as we move forward into the new contract and new requirements, we'll be looking closer at how to make the two controllers resilient, relying on each other or other types of solutions that would, should the backup power capability fail, that we would be able then switch to another controller that would handle both zones from that perspective. So we understand your concern and we understand the seriousness of it, and we appreciate your concern from that perspective, and we are driving it home at the DOD level. I think one of the things you probably understand is you get a constant changeover of senior officers for the military about every 1 to 2 years. So making sure that there is a process in place that's understood, and quite frankly, the impact of what would happen if it were to be lost. We'll do better at making sure those things are known. Again, we're well aware of it and addressing the resiliency issue.
I appreciate that.
This is Scott Stumla. I just, for those of you that have been around long enough, part of that resiliency opportunity that Tim mentioned is Motorola has had a product or service called DSR for quite a long time that the infrastructure owners have not elected to fund. It's not inexpensive, but you know, there is redundancy at each of these master sites to back up the Motorola equipment, but you know, you lose power to a site. We don't have redundant power other than generators or batteries, and even though you exercise generators, we do weekly. Sometimes once you come under load, you know, you suddenly discover after an hour that your generator starts overheating, and those are things that don't necessarily show up during your weekly exercise. So things can happen, and I've always been a huge fan of this is a big risk on the system, and we should have something like DSR. Unfortunately, we wait for something bad to happen before we start thinking about that. And now we're talking about it again. So I ask for it often. I'll ask for it again, for at least from the state side. We have asked Motorola to give us a proposal on what it would cost to do that, put that capability on. And basically what it means is one of the two, if we're just talking about Zone 1 and Zone 2, not counting the muni site, but if one of those went down, all of the sites, all the consoles hooked to the master site would fail over to the other zone controller. So as long as you didn't lose them both, you would continue to have ALMR after, you know, probably a 30-second or whatever period of all that traffic rerouting. So, again, not inexpensive, but I'm of the opinion, as I'm sure many of you are, you gave an example of how a few police departments have basically abandoned their legacy solution, which is not a bad thing. If you're relying on an enterprise solution, it's, you know, a lot of money to do these things, and having backup solutions to somebody else's is expensive as well. So I guess all I can say to that is if there's ever opportunities to advocate to government to, you know, make this more robust and look at things like DSR that you're aware of that came about from this situation, please advocate to those avenues that you have available to you. So.
And for the group, the DSR, that's an acronym for Dynamic System Resilience, and it looks like Mr. Green has his hand up.
Thanks, Paul, and thanks, everybody, for the comments. Thanks, Chief Berrien, for bringing up those concerns. You know, it's not the first time we've had to visit the situation. I appreciate, Paul, reaching out. Thanks for bearing with me in my sporadic communications. It was actually my first day of leave. I was actually up on Birch Hill running around with a bunch of tiger cubs. So I was doing what I can to connect the right folks. One thing I didn't mention, I don't think to you, Mr. Fussy, was that I got involved the Fairmix North Star Borough Emergency Operations Division, and one of their leadership was actually down in J-Bear meeting with some leadership down there and was helping at that avenue as well to help keep systems online, even if it was for 2 hours. I can't speak for the police chiefs, but, you know, in my communications with the Fire Chief Association here locally, they are fully acknowledging that they need to revisit their communications plans and PACE planning. And so that's a discussion that, as I can, we'll be helping to facilitate here locally. You know, there was a plan in place for if ALMR went down, what we were to do. But kind of along the same lines with change of leadership, that plan had been forgotten. And so we're resurrecting it and revisiting it with current capabilities here locally. I appreciate Mr. Stormo's conversation there about the DSR tech. an available resiliency to be added, but you know that funding thing is always going to be a challenge for us. And I guess with advocacy, I would encourage coordinated advocacy, and I don't know what that looks like, but you know, I want to reiterate again that I've done in the past is that we have very powerful advocacy allies with the fire and police chiefs, and if there's coordinated asks, you know, we as a group go to the police chief association, the fire chiefs association, the state chiefs association, where we've identified these gaps and coordinate our advocacy efforts, I think we can have some positive improvement there to the system in funding that funding. I don't know if that needs to be something that's, you know, like a subcommittee or, you know, something to put on the to bring back up here in new business. Maybe we need to talk offline before we do that. But, you know, there are improvements there, especially for the northern region to improve resiliency. And, you know, what does that look like for northern region? Does that mean another site can be another master site if the main one goes down? You know, that's something I think we should all be talking about. You know, a 2-hour outage shouldn't cripple us that much. We should be prepared for that stuff and relying on other systems. And on that note, I will only say Smart Connect. Can't wait for that to get going because that's another tool in the toolbox. Not going to solve everything, but it's another tool in the toolbox to help us maintain a resilient system and give us options. Thank you for the time to comment.
Mr. Smith, this is Paul. You had your hand up, sir?
Yes, this is Eric Smith, recently appointed to the U.S. Army installations as the user council member. So I completely acknowledge everyone's concerns, and I do apologize on behalf of the Army. And we are working with Mr. Tim Woodall and the local garrison command team to try to resolve some of these operational communications problems. They are significant. And as Mr. Woodall mentioned, we do go through a change of command every 2 years, and it seems like we have to re-educate these new garrison command teams. This whole outage was related to an exercise. So everyone's visibility was related to a 11th Airborne exercise for mission requirements. So, but they do now understand that shutting down that site has implications across the state, and I do not see it happening again in the future. But we will continue to work as a team to try to resolve that issue and also upgrade the power systems to make them more resilient. Just wanted to add that to the group.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Smith, appreciate it. Any other comments?
Hearing none, Paul, thank you very much for your report. Thank you very much for the reminder of D-Day tomorrow. I appreciate the conversation regarding Zone 2. And I can contest that, yes, Scott Stormo is a tremendous advocate for doing the right thing. He's been talking about redundancy within the system and pushing as hard as he can for funding. But unfortunately, it does come down to the, you know, funding line, and we're doing the best we can. And I think an advocacy like the Police and Fire Chiefs Associations could help. So thank you very much, Kyle, for that conversation as well. Any other questions for Paul? Hearing none, we can move down to the system management office overview, and I can turn it over to Mr. Fannenstock. Nick?
Thanks, John. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. As Paul mentioned, we've been here since 4 a.m. for the past couple of days, and not to, you know, repeat things that Paul has already mentioned, I have nothing additional to add.
Thank you very much, Nick, but let me see if there's any questions for you. Any questions for Nick, for the management office or the system management office? Okay, Nick, you got off easy. Moving on to the State of Alaska Department of Defense overviews, I'll start with Scott for SOA. Mr. Stomar?
I think the only thing I've got to add is Smart Connect. I reached back out to the Motorola Vice President of the Federal Market, who is sponsoring the FedRAMP approval for those cloud services that will include location on Push-to-Talk and Smart Connect. They just, in the last week, had some more interaction with the FedRAMP team, and his estimated his time is September for when he feels that that will be likely to be hearing some, hopefully, final good news. And David, you're prepped on our side to, once we get that final good news, to do whatever we need to do, or?
As far as our side goes, it is already in the package as approved for use once FedRAMP is approved.
So we would be able to turn it on at that point?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Scott.
I don't think I have anything else to add.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Scott. Any questions for Scott? Moving over to DOD, and I turn it over to Mr. Woodall. Tim?
Yeah, just a note that for those who are participating in the State of Alaska's contract for infrastructure operations and maintenance and operations management, the state will be renewing that contract starting 1st of July. So be prepared to be, because we haven't gotten the membership agreements all out and signed. Invoicing hasn't got to you, but be prepared for your invoice and the ability and then processing your funds through to the state as required. I will send you a memo on that so that we can get a response back from you acknowledging so that Scott can go ahead and execute the contract portion of our portion of that contract. Any questions pertaining to that?
And that was directed to the DOD folks, right?
Correct.
Thank you very much, Tim. Any questions for Tim for DOD? We can move on to the user council representative updates. Anything from the SOA component from DOT, I'm sorry, DOT, DPS, or all others? How about the DOD components, U.S. Army, J-Bear, Eielson?
Nothing from Eielson.
Thank you, sir. Move on to federal non-DOD, that's DOJ, DOI, or all others?
Nothing from DOI.
Thank you. And the municipal component, that would be north, central, or southeast?
This is Tammy, and I don't have anything today. Thank you.
Thanks, Tammy. Anything else, Chief? From north?
John, Kyle here.
Yes, Kyle. Anything else that you'd like to add before we get to new business?
I just want to throw out there that if anybody's attending the 5x5 Summit, drop me a line and look to connect. Thanks. No other business for north.
Excellent. And also, Lieutenant Calvera, anything from southeast?
Nope, nothing from southeast. Thank you.
All right. Well, we can move to the next agenda item, which is new business. The floor is open for new business. Hearing nothing at this time, I will announce that the next scheduled meetings are July 3rd and August 7th. I think I heard someone. Was there anything that you would like to bring up for new business?
Yeah, hi, John. This is Steve. I just wanted to mention that the remainder today and tomorrow down at the Eakin Center, there's some pretty good discussions taking place in regard to cybersecurity. And there's some training tomorrow. If anybody's interested, I think they have room. It's a pretty good event, and have a lot of different vendors there. Pretty well worthwhile. And then we've got some information we can put out if you're interested in getting in contact with some of the folks that work with the cyber group within CISA and how to get some free services there. Cyber hygiene is one of them. That's a free scanning service that's pretty easy to set up. And if anybody's interested in that, I just need them to contact what we call our cybersecurity analyst. So just wanted to share that as we're all becoming more knowledgeable about different events happening, especially ransomware. And, there's been a few of those up here in Alaska. And then on the radio side, we're starting to see some of those specific to radio systems. We had one in Oregon, and then here just, I think it was in Kansas and Missouri here just a month or so ago. Same thing with the radio system. So just try to be careful with that. A lot of it's with, software that's out of date or systems lacking security, passwords, and things of that nature. So that's all I had, Paul. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you very much, Steve. We always appreciate it when you bring up excellent training and good folks like you, like you've had. I did hear a few things about tomorrow's training. There was a 10 to 3 regarding cyber awareness. It sounded very interesting. Unfortunately, I'll be busy with other things, or I'd love to attend that. Steve, if someone would like to attend, would you be okay if either you left the information with Mary or Paul and they can get in touch with them?
Yep.
And Paul, would that be okay with you?
That'd be fine, Mr. Chair. I actually have the link in that, so we can send that out to everybody.
I think that would even be better for everybody just to be aware of what some of the things that are going on. Thank you. All right. Any other new business? I mentioned the date of the next few meetings. And then remember, after we adjourn and turn off the recording, we're going to have the presentation from Mr. Smith from the State Division of Forestry. So at this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. And a second.
This is Tammy.
Thank you very much, Tammy. I appreciate it. So we're adjourned from the official meeting, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to Mr. Smith.
All right. Can you guys all hear me? Doing a comms check real quick?
Stop sharing my screen, so I